Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joe. Stay tuned.
Hey everybody, welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey. This is Joey. Tonight we've got a really interesting show. I like to call this the Actors Room. We've got with us two directors. The first one is Michael Masucci from Washington, D.C. And then our second guest that will be coming to us from the West Coast will be Ryan Sage. So again, folks, make sure you pass this show on to your friends and your neighbors and all your loved ones. It'll be a real interesting conversation we're going to have with these guys tonight. And so, again, the first person I'd like to introduce to you is director Michael Masucci. So let me tell you a little bit about him. He's the CEO of Secret Shadows Productions. Again, he has worked in every facet of the filmmaking process in front, behind the camera. He studied at Lee Strasberg Theater Institute before turning his attention to writing and directing. And this guy was born and raised in upstate New York and now coming to us straight from Washington, D.C., which is, in fact, one of my favorite places to be. Would you welcome Michael? Hey, Michael, how are you?
Hey, Joey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. You know, I really like D.C. So you're right in Washington, D.C., right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a great place to live. So yeah, when was the last time you were here?
I'm trying to think. I was there in 2006, I believe, 2005 or 2006. And then one of my favorite restaurants is in that area. It's in Georgetown, and it's called Philomena's. Have you ever heard of it?
I've actually been to Philomena's, and my wife and I live in Arlington. We actually live right near Arlington Cemetery, and we walk over to Georgetown pretty much every weekend, and there's just tons of great places to go over there in Georgetown. I love it, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, it was really, when I went there, it was pretty phenomenal. I was pretty blown away. I went with a group of people, and it was just such a great experience, I think, in all my years. And I'm kind of like you. I'm an Italian boy. I'm part Italian. And, you know, I'm kind of picky about Italian food. And so when I went there, I was just really amazed. And it helps that they have, you know, they have these women that are at the, like, I don't know, like they're at the front there, like in a window making raviolis and stuff. So it really kind of helps you kind of feel that whole experience, you know. And they're just warm and friendly. And at the end of the meal, they gave us, I'm trying to remember, they gave us, oh my gosh, amaretto.
Yeah, amaretto. They gave us cannolis or whatever, yeah. Well, if you're anything like me, you grew up in an Italian family, and you grew up loving your mother's sauce, and it's hard to kind of eat any other sauce, right? You go out to a restaurant and eat the sauce, and it's like, well, it's not as good as mom's, but yeah, they got some good food there. But next time you come back, you know, give me a call, and I'll take you out to a place called Luigi's, which is a pretty good place. It's kind of near the White
House.
It sounds Luigi's, you know, but
Luigi.
They got great meatballs there. So, no, it's a lot of fun. We kind of go in there a lot, and it's a nice city to live. I mean, I lived in New York City for a lot of years, but had the opportunity to come down here, and well, my wife did, and so I kind of followed, and I love it. The weather's great, and, you know, I can do whatever I do. I can do, you know, from wherever. So, yeah, it's kind of working out.
That's awesome, and I heard that recently you – just had a baby. Tell us more about that.
Oh, he's 4 weeks old. His name is Lucas.
Wow, congratulations.
So at some point, I guess I'll have to say the famous quote from Star Wars, right? Luke, I'm your father at some point. But it's pretty interesting. I mean, do you have any children?
No.
Well, not that I know of,
but anyway.
gotcha. Well, this is our first. And the funny thing about it is, you know, you have 9 months of anticipation, and And then when the moment comes, there's just absolutely not a second to be afraid, because it's just you're thrown into the fire, and you know he comes out, and the nurse is pretty much given to you, and you're holding this little baby that's looking up at you, and you're like, all right, what do I do now? So I mean, I'd never changed a diaper, I'd never done anything, but you learn pretty quick. So, but yeah, he's keeping me and his mother up pretty much right now. So who knows what I'll say in this interview? I'm working on about 2-3 hours of sleep a night, so you know it'll be interesting. but thank you for the congratulations. It's, I appreciate
that. Yeah,
that's
awesome. That is awesome. So, you know, I want to talk about, you know, I know you've been involved in film for a while, but let's talk a little about this movie, The Hostage Game. So so your co-star is Frank Molina, and it's like, I understand it's like a kidnapping thriller. Tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. And then there was a gentleman by the name of Corey Haim. So this guy was trying to get his career back on track, and so and then he was involved in the production. And then
Corey was the star, basically. Corey Haim was a big movie star in the '80s.
Right.
I don't know if you remember the movie Lost Boys or Lucas or License to Drive, any of those films. He was one of the stars of those movies, and you know, being a child actor, he kind of got into some drugs when he was around 15, 16 years old, and you know, he had to deal with that. And so you flash forward to when we filmed the movie, you know, a couple years back, and he had kind of, you know, cleaned himself up and kind of gone sober. So he basically was, everybody was touting this as his comeback. And but in the '80s he was a pretty big star. I mean, I didn't realize how big he was until I kind of, you know, spent some time with him. So
and he was originally from Canada, right?
He was originally from Canada, yeah. And you know, we ended up you know, the producer that I had worked with, the production company of the producer's film was Global Universal Pictures. And I want to give a shout-out to them. They're great people over there, the executives, Jackie Drew and Gary Rasmussen and Eric Leffler, just very generous people, very smart-minded business and entertainment people. So and at any rate, she had worked with him in a movie, you know, years before, and we kind of reached out to him to see if he was back in the business. And he said, yeah, he'd love to do it. So it stars him, and it stars a guy by the name of Frank Molina, who I'd worked with on a lot of pictures, who was a New York actor. I met him actually at Lee Strasberg. He's, you know, hardcore method, whatever stigmatism comes with that, but you know, very, very talented. And the story is about basically, like I said, it's called The Hostage Game, which you've mentioned. And Corey's character wakes up one day and finds his wife has been kidnapped. And he basically gets a call from a kidnapper saying, "You have we have your wife. You have you have to answer this first riddle, and if you answer it correctly, you get another clue to bring you one step closer to saving your wife. If you fail to answer the riddle in the time we give you, she dies." So he hires a private investigator, played by Frank Molina, and then the two of them kind of go out on a treasure hunt. So, but what I kind of like about the movie, I mean, there's a lot of things obviously I like about the movie. What I kind of think is unique about it is that the audience kind of gets the clues or the riddles along with the actors, along with the characters. So the audience can kind of try to figure out the clues while the story is going on, while the actors are kind of doing that. And throughout the story, the clues and whatnot, they kind of uncover the plot twists and why this is all happening, and it all leads up to kind of a big twist at the end, which I can't spoil. You'd have to see the movie.
Okay. So here's my question to you, because that kind of confuses me a little bit. Okay. So now the audience is getting the same clues at the same time the actors are getting theirs?
Yeah. It's not like interactive or anything. It's just basically as you
watch. No. But I mean, obviously the actors knew. I mean, they know what's happening, right?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay. So I just want to understand that. So explain that again. So basically, every single clue that's given, okay, because there's a lot of movies like that, right? But what's going to make this one, again, for the audience so they understand, what's going to make this a little bit different?
Well, just the fact that if I'm watching this movie, the kidnapper is going to give Corey Haim's character and Frank Molina's character a riddle, okay? Mm-hmm. And they need to figure it out, okay? Mm-hmm. So they can, you know, answer the riddle or the clue in time, okay, mm-hmm. to meet their mm-hmm. deadline that the kidnapper is mm-hmm. setting. So they, you know, mm-hmm. they can go to him and they go to a phone booth and they call him up and they say, all right, this is the answer. And then the mm-hmm. kidnapper gives them another clue. And what mm-hmm. I mean by the audience getting that is the audience may when they're watching the show, watching the film, when the kidnapper is giving them the riddle, the audience may be like, oh, you know what, I think I know what this is. That's what I'm trying to kind of say.
Okay. And then at the end, it has a twist that will probably, you'll be kind of shocked maybe.
Exactly. I mean, obviously there's you know, plot twists and twists and turns in the story, and then it all leads up to kind of a twist of who's doing it and whatnot, which the audience in the end would kind of be shocked, you know, and
right.
that stuff. So it's kind of right. it's kind of a, what they call a thinking man's movie. So I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the work we did on it. We had a you know, a cast and a crew that worked really, really hard on it, and you know, like I said, I'm proud of the movie.
Yeah. You know, it's really sad about Corey. I mean, because he wasn't really that old, you know.
No, he was 38 when he passed away.
You know, really sad, and I understand, like, he passed on from pneumonia. And this was, like, March 10th, 2010. Is that about right?
I think so, yeah, around there.
Yeah. What was it like to work with him?
People always ask me that question, and I think my answer is, I think he's misunderstood, first of all. You know, he was a child. He was 15 years old, and I'm not condoning it, obviously, what he did, but he made a mistake as a child. You know, 15-year-old kids make mistakes, and he got into drugs, and unfortunately he carried it with him his entire life. But I didn't know him then, and, you know, I only knew of his work from Lucas and Lost Boys and all that. When I met him, he was a 38-year-old man who had made amends for his mistakes, and he just desperately wanted to get his life back. He just desperately wanted to work again in the movie industry. He wanted to be an actor. That was his favorite, you know, he was happiest on a movie set. So I didn't know what to expect, and he came up to me on first day on the set and said, anything you need, you got it. You know, he was upfront about his past. He was open about his addictions and whatnot. And he was tremendously professional. He was dedicated to the story and to the production. And it's great to work with from his, you know, with his cast. And he was great to work with, you know, with me as a director and actor. We really kind of, I think, build a trust that you can only build from a director-actor type of relationship. And you know, we had other projects that we wanted to work on together, and I really considered him a friend. And you know, it was a tragedy, and you know, my heart goes out to his lovely mom and all that. So, but
yeah,
I have nothing
good
things to say about him. You know, it was a tragedy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is a sad thing. And you know, I was reading some information on him, and it, you know, it just talked about the fact. I mean, he was involved in the relationships with past actresses is so numerous, you know, people that he was involved with, just incredible. And at the end, you know, it looks like he died alone, and, you know, and people were commenting that they'd catch him many times just looking for companionship. So, you know, it's really kind of sad when you hear of these things, because a lot of times people think, oh, you know, somebody that's in the limelight, they have a lot of friends, they have this, they have that, and it's not always the case, you know. But what a wonderful break and kind of comeback that you offered him, that he was able to be involved in this. And so that is an awesome thing. So I want to talk a little bit more about this movie and then what it was like to work with Frank Molina. And you talked a little bit. Now, Frank was going to join us, and then, you know, tonight, but tell me a little bit about that. And I know he's a New York actor, and is that right?
He unfortunately had a family emergency at the last minute, and so he couldn't make it. But Frank is one of my closest friends, and you know, I'm the godfather of his kid. He was in my wedding.
Oh, how cool.
So it's that type of relationship. And that really transcends to when you're working with someone as an actor, director relationship, because you have this kind of intimate, you know, friendship with someone. And and it helps when you kind of, you know, if you need to, you know, kind of invoke, you know, an emotion from an actor or whatnot. If I know the man and I know his family and I know, you know, his friends, and I, you know, spent a lot of time with him as we did when we were coming up the ranks of an acting school and whatnot, it just helps because you got these little triggers that you can, you know, hey, Frank, you remember this time when we were doing this job and we were hanging out at your mom's and whatnot? You remember that? And this is kind of the moment. So, but he is a tremendously dedicated and passionate actor. He studied at Lee Strasberg, and he's one of those guys that has a kind of a truthfulness that he starts out with. And a lot of actors, they don't have that. They don't have that natural truthfulness. Frankie just has that. He has this natural, just kind of truthfulness. You know, doesn't look like he's acting. He just looks like he's just, you know, living that moment, which I think a lot of the great, great actors have. And I think Frank, you know, definitely, you know, the more people that see him in this movie, he's got nothing but great reviews in it. I think the more you'll see him in other stuff. And, you know, but he is, he's truly gifted. The two of them, it was important that they had chemistry to make this movie work, because the movie, as well as what we earlier discussed, kind of focuses a lot on the relationships between these two guys that are kind of put into this, you know, because of this unfortunate event. But it focused a lot on the relationships, and they, you know, they had to have chemistry, and the first time they met, it just kind of clicked. So, yeah, he's a great actor. And, you know, I was blessed, to be honest with you, to have a great supporting cast and, you know, and everybody. We had Bernie Robichaud, who's a Canadian actor, who, if you ever watched Trailer Park Boys, he plays Cyrus in Trailer Park Boys, so he's kind of has a big following up there. And then Eric Leflew, who is another talented New York actor. And then we had a newcomer, Angela Collins, who played Corey's wife, who they had this, you know, she actually came in to read another part, but she, we kind of looked at her in one of those moments where we said, you know, I think she would be great for Corey's wife. And she read, and she had this strength that I felt that she needed. And the two of them, when they read together, had this dynamic that they felt like they were a married couple, and, you know, for a long time. So, yeah, I was really fortunate to have a great cast and a great crew as well.
Yeah. I can imagine. I mean, I've done some work myself, and then I'm also a musician, but I do acting as well. And it's so important to have that that synergy together, you know, especially when you're working with other people. It's just so important. It's important in a day-to-day, you know, job. But, of course, when you're doing something on film, and you talked about the fact that Frank is able to really hone in on his skill, and he's able to just transcend, you know, and he's genuine in what he does. And I think I would agree with you. I think that's what makes phenomenal actors. What do you think what does Frank want to do in the future? Do you have any idea? And, you know, where he might be going?
Yeah, he and I have a production company called Secret Shadows Productions, which you had mentioned in the beginning, and he's a part of that. He and I have all actually written, you know, some stuff together in the past. We worked on a few other movies in the past. So any project that I'm doing as a director, he would be involved. But I know he has a manager, and he auditions, and he kind of goes out and does all that stuff. But he's of Dominican ascent, and he's very involved in the Dominican film community as well, which is kind of up and coming in the United States. So kind of gives he kind of gives a lot of his time to kind of foster you know, people that of Dominicans that are kind of coming up and learning, you know, the industry. He's also produced as well, so he's a great guy to work with, and like I mentioned, we've done a lot of stuff together. So
yeah, that's interesting about that film industry, because I did not know that. I mean, we know, you know, the Dominican Republic has produced many great athletes too, right? But I mean, as far as you know, in the acting world, I did not know. You don't hear that too much. So that's
well, it's budding.
it's
budding. It's just starting, and that's something that I think he is proud of that, and I think people look up to him as maybe a pioneer or someone who has come from, because he was born there, but he moved to New York City when he was like two or something. So he spent his whole life in the States. He's a U.S. citizen and all that, but I think there's pride in the fact that's happening, and I think he wants to kind of reach out to them, and he's good like that.
Yeah, so. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, Michael, I want to ask you, so what else is going on? What do you have in the future? What do you have going on? You got some stuff in the works. Tell me a little bit about that. And then I want you to also let people know how they might be able to view this movie. And then I don't know if you're going to remember all this stuff. So again, I want to where you're going, how people can view this movie, and how to get in touch with you. And then in closing, I just want to ask you what you think of that, since the show is Live from the Bay with Joey, and we are in the San Francisco Bay Area. I know that you and I have talked about this, that you had spent some time out here in the Bay Area, and I just kind of be interested in knowing what you thought about it. So,
well, there's a lot of questions, and I'm on about 2 hours of sleep, so let me see if I can get all of them right. So, first of all, you wanted to know basically about what I got going on. So, as I mentioned, I have a production company. And it's called Secret Shadows Productions. And basically we have a lot of scripts from television to film in all genres. And we currently have a show called Cathedral of Rock. You mentioned you're a musician, which is kind of a show. It's a little Spinal Tap-ish almost, but it's not a documentary, though. Spinal Tap was kind of documentary style. But it's about an up-and-coming band that is... basically, they feel they're destined to sit at the table of the rock gods. The only thing stopping them is that they suck. So it's kind of a comedy about them making it, And it's pretty funny. They think that they need to, instead of practicing, that they need to summon the rock gods, that type of stuff. So, it's a pretty funny comedy. And then we have four other television shows that we're currently shopping around. My representation and I are currently shopping around to try to find a home for. So we're moving ahead on those, and then we have a couple feature film scripts. And with the success of this movie and whatnot, we have some investors and whatnot that they actually want to talk to us now and take our phone calls. So it's an exciting time. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm with that. Second question, I believe, is where can people see the movie, right? The company that and let me first of all say I'm very grateful for them for taking the movie out. Corey Haim fans always ask me how can I see the movie? So I'm very so Cyrus Entertainment, and I'm very very grateful for them to give us a shot and kind of take it out. But I've been told it's going to be on Netflix and all that fun stuff. But for now, I would tell your audience that just go to the website of Osiris Entertainment, and I'll just spell that out for you. It's OSIRISENT.com. And you just in the search engine, you just type in The Hostage Game, and the movie will come up. So that's the deal on that one. And then what was the other one? The Bay Area, right? You want to know about?
Well, yeah, but before that, let people know if anybody's interested in getting in touch with you and your production company, how would they do that?
Well, a couple things. You could always email me at secretshadowsprod@hotmail.com, and it's just pretty much Secret Shadows and then the abbreviation of Productions. Secret Shadows, prod@hotmail.com. Or if you go on IMDb, you can learn all about me on IMDb. I have a website, michaelmasucci.com. My contact information on IMDb is my manager. You can always get in touch with me through my manager as well, and that's Massey Management. So but if you get on IMDb, you'll see that, and just click on contact, and his number comes up. So people will be able to get in touch with me that way and learn a little bit more about what we're doing and the films that we've done in the past and of course, The Hostage Game. So
awesome.
And then the Bay Area. Yeah, I love the Bay Area. I haven't been out there for a couple years, but, I did all the tourist stuff. And I went and saw, what was it, the seals? Is that what it was? The walruses or those, all those?
Yeah, I guess. You can see those, yeah.
Yeah, down by the
right
wharf.
Right there at the wharf, yeah.
Yeah, I did not go to Alcatraz, though. That was the one thing I didn't do. I really wanted to go there. But you know, we went out there and did the tourist thing and had a lot of fun. But, you know, the funny thing, the first time I went out there, I didn't see the Golden Gate Bridge the entire time. Not one.
Oh,
it was fogged in
really?
The entire time. Yeah.
Oh,
I was there for
funny.
A weekend. Yeah, I was there for a weekend the entire time. Second time I got to see it, which was kind of cool. But, you know, I lived in New York City for a lot of years, so, you know, there's a lot of bridges there. So, but, yeah, it's a fun area. And hey, if you ever get to D.C., you know, give me a shout, and I'll take you out to Luigi's. We'll
oh,
some,
that would be phenomenal. Now, let me ask you. Let's go back to Golden Gate Bridge, shall we?
Okay,
so I know New York has got a lot of bridges, but come on now. If you're coming from – well, no. If you're coming from Marin County, though, okay, so you're going through the tunnel and you're coming from Marin County, so you're coming from the north and you're heading into San Francisco. You're coming that way. That's a phenomenal view.
Oh, don't
with the Pacific Ocean and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, don't misinterpret what I was. It was absolutely
No. I know.
Yeah, it was grand. It was beautiful. You know, I mean, and I guess what I meant to say, and again, it's late on the East Coast, is that,
I know.
Is that you know, I mean, I had seen a lot of bridges, you know, George Washington Bridge, Brooklyn Bridge, all these iconic bridges, but then when you got out to, I finally got to see the, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge. It was pretty fascinating, pretty.
But you know what? I totally understand, because my dad was from New York, you know, so all my life I heard stuff about New York from my aunts and uncles, my dad, you know, so. When I finally went out there and for the first time in, I don't know, when it was, 2003, I just was, like, blown away because, first of all, we were coming across a bridge, and I had this thing in my mind that there was these, like, huge buildings, skyscrapers, this big, phenomenal skyline, you know?
Yeah.
And so I had that in my mind. I had it in my mind that it was a dirty place, a bunch of, you know, crap all over the place and just, you know, just garbage and just bad weather. And you know what? All of that was just absolutely wrong. So what I found was that so my idea of what the skyline looked like was completely off. And then my idea of it being filthy – this was when Giuliani was the mayor.
Yeah.
Was absolutely wrong. I mean, we went into Times Square and we went in, and it was absolutely clean and the air was clean and it was blue skies. And I was like, really? I mean,
I was really
kind of blown away because, and it was kind of, I was kind of embarrassed too because there's portions of San Francisco on Market Street that are very, they're not clean at all. So New York at that time with Giuliani there, I mean, he had it, I mean, it was spick and span. And, you know, you see police officers on horses. You know, it's just very, very cool. So I think the only thing that kind of freaked me out a little bit was their subway system. But outside of that, Grand Central Station, everything in there was just so impressive. I was really, yeah. So I think sometimes, you know, we have expectations in there. But that's not the first time. I've heard people saying, you know, I was expecting blah, blah, blah from San Francisco, and I didn't see it. And then other people think, you know, it's absolutely phenomenal. So I'm glad that you like it, that you had a wonderful time. And, you know, when you come out here again, let me know. When I'm in D.C., I definitely would like to check out
absolutely.
Luigi's.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well,
and,
you know,
again, congratulations. You know, on your newborn. And again, you know, thanks for joining us. And folks, again, Michael had given you a way to get in touch with him because that's, you know, you can reach him and his production company if you're interested in any of that. He gave you his email address on how to reach him. And I would say, you know, definitely check out this movie. I mean, it seems like such a cool movie. The Hostage Game, and that was starring Corey Haim, who's no longer with us, but, you know, wonderful actor, and what a really great great storyline, and you can be involved in the action of the film. So that's kind of great. So I want to thank Michael again for joining us, Michael Masucci, director, and calling us all the way from Washington, D.C., one of my favorite places. So next, calling us from the West Coast is Ryan Sage, director of A Big Love Story. Interesting, we're going to be talking to Ryan, but here in any minute now. But Ryan is involved, I think, somehow, some way, in Modern Family. So, Ryan, are you calling us from the West Coast, from Los Angeles? Am I right?
I am.
Welcome
I am
to both. Live from the Bay with Joey, and I'm thankful that you that you're with us tonight, and that you're going to be talking to us a little bit about your new this new film, and then also about your work with Modern Family. That's kind of an interesting. That's your kind of like day job, is that right?
That's my day job. I do the promos, the commercials for the show, basically.
Oh,
so,
how cool is that?
Yeah,
and that show is doing really well, isn't it?
It is doing outstanding, yes. It just won its fourth Emmy last night in a row. So they're all super excited. I actually, this season I didn't work on it. I did the first three seasons of the show, and it's been extremely fun. It's like it's actually sort of a great learning experience of just watching good storytelling, and you learn a lot of lessons by, you know, watching good people, talented people at work. So I feel very fortunate that I was able to do that.
So let me ask you, is Sofia Vergara's accent really just like that?
It is like that, but she actually admits she plays it up for comedy. Like when she realized people laughed at it, she sort of played it up, and she found herself getting more parts for that. So she's never worked on trying to fix it, and she definitely plays it up. So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Well, so let me ask you how you so tell me a little bit about this new film, Big Love Story. And I guess this is now also available through Osiris Entertainment, correct?
It is. Yeah, you can get it on like Amazon.com and Walmart and a couple other places.
Right, right. And I know that this is not your first film that you've worked on. I mean, you've had some prior successes with short films.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yes, yes. I did my fair share of short films. I actually went to film school up there at Academy of Art, I guess, university now. When I was there, it was only college. So
in San Francisco, yes.
In San Francisco. Yeah, I'd love to move back up there. I miss it there.
Yeah. How long were you out here?
I was there for 5 years. And then my grandparents live in Santa Rosa. So I'd come down every summer. I grew up in Oregon, so every summer I'd come down and visit them and spend some time there in the Bay Area.
So what part of Oregon are you from?
Salem is where I grew up, and then I went to the University of Oregon for a year, and then the year that I was there, they decided to cut their film department. So I kind of flailed around for a while in Portland, and then eventually made my way down to San Francisco and went there. And so that's really where I started. I've made a couple of short films, like with my sister or friends, you know, in high school, but once I was there, then I was off to the races of doing as much as I could.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny. I like Oregon as well, and I've spent a lot of time up there. And it's funny talking to people from Southern California, because many times they consider us here, they call us No California in, you know, Northern California.
Yes.
And a lot of people think that, and I guess it depends on the area of Northern California that you're in, but that we tend to have more closer affinity to, like, maybe Oregon, to the Pacific Northwest, because it seems, you know,
people are nicer.
but I mean, the scenery, you know, we have a lot of trees and a lot of, you know, so, and of course we have rain as well, not as much as Oregon, nor definitely not as much as Washington State, but much more than Southern California. So it's kind of funny because I have friends from Southern California. They were always complaining about the Bay Area, saying, oh, my God, you know, Northern California is just so much rain. And I'm like, what are you talking about? But I would say the same thing about Washington State, right? It's like, oh, my God, so much rain in Washington State. But
Seattle.
Yeah. But anyway, glad that you here for a while. So tell us how this this movie, A Big Love Story, came about, what it's about, and all that.
Well, A Big Love Story is about a football player, an ex-college football player that's blown out his knee, and he was sort of destined for the NFL, and once the knee went, so did his chances of succeeding there. So what we do is we sort of pick up the story 7 years later, and he really put all his eggs in that one basket. And so now it's 7 years later, he's working basically a minimum wage job, and he's gained about 200 pounds. So he's now like at 415 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
So he's making the life choice to make a change, and he gets a personal trainer, which he ends up falling for. So it's a sort of a warm romantic comedy, and it's about him falling for his trainer.
Now, if I understand correctly, did you not write this story?
I did not write this story. I actually got it off of Craigslist, where, you know,
are
you
get, serious?
Oh, you get all funny. Your scripts. Yeah. I when about the time that I said, because I'd done so many shorts, and I'd also done a couple of, like, independently produced pilots, and I was like, you know what, I need to make a feature film, because that's been my whole goal from day one, and I kept on sort of avoiding it. So finally, when I made that decision, was I was just gotten married, and that came along with, at the time we got married, I think a five or six, and then about 6 months after we were pregnant and had another little baby on the way. So my chances of writing were very,
right,
you know, getting narrower and narrower, especially with, you know, I have a full-time job at ABC. So I knew that there's tons of talented people out there that were not represented, and, you know, I was trying to figure out a way to get to them, and I had such good success at finding a couch on Craigslist, I thought, you know what, I bet we can do the same thing with the script. So I put out an ad saying, looking for a low-budget feature, I'll pay you $500 up front, and then if it makes money, you know, we can split the profits, but, you know, if you're doing this to make money, this isn't the project for you. This is for somebody that wants to see their script get made into a feature film.
Wow.
And got about 50 or so responses, and the Dale Zawada was the writer, and he's actually a Chicago stand-up comedian, and he sent me a different script, and I liked the writing, but it was a little too broad, and so I asked him if he had something else, and he pitched me this story, and then sent me the script, and I really responded to it, because it, to me, it actually echoed a lot of my personal, what I was going through, which was the story is not really about, like, losing weight. It's not like a Biggest Loser type movie. It's about, you know, removing the self-imposed barriers that we put in front of ourselves, you know, saying things like, you know, I'm too fat to ever find love, or, you know, all these crazy things that we fill our minds with that just aren't true. You know, there's tons of fat people that are loved and are in good relationships. So,
right.
You know, and I felt like I was doing a lot of the same thing of, like, you know, I'm not ready to do a feature yet. I'm not, and I kept on putting all these blocks in front of me that are just kind of ridiculous. And so that's basically what the movie is about, removing those blocks. And I just really responded to that, you know, core idea, and it spoke a lot of truth to me, especially at that moment in my life.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. And, you know, I think that's very true. I think that, you know, although, you know, there's plenty of people that, you know, we realize that when, you know, I've struggled with weight issues over the years. I've never been obese, but, I mean, I've struggled with when I was a little kid. You know, when I say little kid,
I think it doesn't even matter if you're skinny or not. I think everybody that's in America has a weight complex. You know, you could be 100
absolutely
pounds.
But you know what the thing is, I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, it's it's sad when, you know, people think that, you know, unless I look like one of these people off this magazine, unless,
right.
you know, unless I'm really, really built really well, I'm really thin, and all the women that, you know, this hits women as well as men, you know, they have this image, and it creates, you know, this complex. And then people have to live with this. And there's a lot of people, actually, that are sitting on the couch of many psychs throughout this country and other countries because of that. So it's kind of cool that you're able to, you know, you're able to say, hey, you know, here's something that a lot of people deal with, and let's, you know, let's make something good out of it. And so that's, and that's a really cool thing. So, so, you know, and thanks for, you know, as someone that's involved in this, you know, that you talked about, you know, your, I guess your struggle too with weight loss, and weight
mm-hmm.
issues. So now, do you know that the writer, the actual, the writer of this script, was that a struggle for him as well?
Yeah, he, you know, it's interesting is that he definitely was a larger guy, and he just recently, I think since the premiere of the movie started going on, when we first played in the festival, he went on a diet, and I think he's up to, he lost 100 pounds now. So.
Oh, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
And his
so
name again
really,
is what? And his name again
Dale Zawada.
Dale
Zawada.
D-A-W-A.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a couple of, like, iTunes comedy albums that are funny. Definitely should check those out.
Yeah, definitely. So we want to give a shout-out to him, and thanks so much for sharing that work with you, and then you were able to take it one step beyond. So tell us.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it was really cool, I think, that, you know, how small the world has gotten that, you know, the guy I never met, never would have met, and I just put an ad online. And I have, you know, a response to somebody, and we didn't actually even meet each other until the premiere of the movie. And it's just really cool how you can really now, with the internet, just collaborate with we have an animation sequence in the movie, and, like, the animator is actually from San Francisco, Mark Farinas, who I, again, didn't meet till the premiere of the movie, but did the whole sequence and stuff from San Francisco.
What's his name again?
Mark Farinas.
Uh-huh. Okay. So we'll give a shout-out to him as well. Now, if I understand correctly, was there a change in the title of the movie?
Yes, there was. There was. It originally was called Worth the Weight. Weight spelled W-E-I-G-H-T, so with the pun. But the thought process behind changing it was when we were going to sell it, it's an interesting little phenomenon that if you have a movie that starts at the beginning of the alphabet and you're on pay-per-view, it's something like, I don't even remember, it's like 200 or 300 times more likely somebody will watch your movie versus if your movie ends with a W or Z, because all the lists are alphabetical and people get fatigued if they go through the list.
Right.
So it's an interesting lesson. So anybody out there making a movie now, I suggest change your title to something either a number, which goes up first, or A through C. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that is a good rule of thumb. Actually, I wrote about 2.5 years ago. I started to write a short story, short film. That we're hoping to release at some point in the near future. And I had to change the title, I don't know, maybe 5 times. I was so frustrated. But, again, you know, that's really, really important. So thanks again
Why were you changing your title? Just...
Well, yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think there was the first name was kind of had something to do with one of the songs that was going to be in the movie, but then not exactly, but kind of around that. And then when I decided that no, I'm not going to do that song, that I was going to that
Make
I was
name
going to
there.
Yeah, that I was actually going to use one of my tunes. Then I changed it, and then I changed it again when I decided I didn't want to use that tune. I was going to use one of my other tunes. And then somebody else said, well, why don't you, you know, maybe you should call it this. And, you know, and I said, you know, I am not going to choose a name of a movie that is at the end of the alphabet. You know, it just, it doesn't make sense to me. So so I kind of share the same kind of thought process.
You were smarter than me.
No, I don't think I was smarter than you. No. I don't think I was smarter than you. I just think that, you know, I went through this whole thing, and I think you have to really think things through. And, you know, that's a great name. I mean, although the first name, you know, it's cute and all that kind of stuff, and it has worth the wait, all that. But truly, at the end of the day, at the end of the movie, this is – The name that you've come up with now is really, it kind of encapsulates what the whole film is about, really. And so that's really what you want to do. That's what you want to present, I would hope,
yeah, that's
to your audience.
Things, like somebody's just scrolling through the TV and they see the title, A Big Love Story, they'll know it's a love story. You know, it's,
right.
It's a romantic comedy. Like, you want to try to give the genre away as quick
right.
as possible.
Right, and you know, and two, you know, people immediately what I thought of was when I saw that name. Of course, I thought of Love Story, you know, which a lot of people
right.
Will remember. And then A Big Love Story sounds. I mean, it just sounds big, you know. It sounds like, wow, you know, this is going to be great.
Bigger than Ryan O'Neill.
Yeah, exactly. So that is very, very cool. So congratulations. And so where was this movie shot?
It was shot here in L.A.
Very
and we
cool.
kind of shot it all around. I sort of wanted to make it, you know, nondescript USA. Basically, I didn't really want to give a location. It was just sort of, you know, kind of like a Springfield Anywhere type feel.
Ah, that's very cool. And it took you how long to film this?
We ended up shooting it just on weekends so I could keep my day job. And it took about 6 months. And it actually turned out to be sort of a blessing because having the breaks, like basically we'd shoot Saturday, Sunday, and then I would edit the footage Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and really see what things were working, what things weren't. If we're going back to the same location, we could pick up stuff or we'd rewrite constantly. You know, every week we'd be rewriting, and the actors would get new pages on Friday. And mm-hmm. by the end, the actors had no idea. You know, they had to sort of just trust us because, you know, plot lines were completely changed. And it was just a good experience. And I know that, like, Woody Allen and Ed Burns, they always, whenever they shoot movies, they always have, like, a break planned so that from principal photography so they can put the movie together and see what they have so that when they go, you know, the final bit, they can really either go and reshoot some stuff or, you know, maybe tweak some things a little bit of the stuff they
mm-hmm.
haven't shot yet to make
mm-hmm.
sure they get the best product. And that's kind of inadvertently what we ended up doing, which
mm-hmm.
As first-time feature maker turned out great.
Wow. Well, I think I'm going to need to keep in touch with you just for my upcoming short film. So
yeah,
I'll definitely keep your information on file. Now, how did you find a distributor for it?
We went to a producer's rep, which there's basically two people that if you're getting representation for your film, there's either a film agent or a producer's rep, and generally, like a film agent will take a percentage on the sale once you sell it. Producer's rep, you pay money up front. And sort of the difference between the two, what I've found is like a film agent basically goes to the people they've done deals with before and tries to sort of copy the path that they've gone with before. And whereas a producer's rep will take the movie and basically send it to everybody, you know, all the distribution companies starting at the very top, like Miramax and Lionsgate, whoever else the, you know, bigger distributors are. And then they sort of break it up into tier groups. So they'll send it all to the top tier ones, and then you know, most likely for a small movie like ours, it's not going to go there. So then it's like the second and third tier group, and hopefully you get a couple of companies that will bid on it, and then you can use them against each other and sort of bid up the price. So
using this producer rep, is it quite costly?
It is in a, I mean, like in a low budget world, it is. I can't remember if it was like around $5,000 or something like that. But
is,
know,
there
the,
a guarantee that they're going to get?
No, there's no guarantee. But the thing is, it's like peace of mind of like at least you got up there and swung your bat. You know, like everybody's seeing it, and so whereas like a film agent. You know, that's really based on relationships they have, which can work great. You know, that's, I'm not knocking film agency in any way. It's just the way we chose to go. I like the idea that everybody saw it and had a chance. You know, and even if it's not this project, maybe there's something else. You know, maybe just economically it wasn't right for them, but, you know, they liked what I was producing, and so at least they're getting a taste of what we're doing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, future projects.
No, that's awesome. Well, you know, Ryan, I want to tell you that I really appreciate what you're doing here and what you've done. And again, if people are interested in seeing this movie, it's available on DVD through Osiris Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes, or you can just go to Amazon.com and do a search for A Big Love Story. Or, for your listeners, the first two people that send me an email at hello@ryansage.com, I will send them a free copy.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So tell them again.
It's hello, H-E-L-L-O, at ryansage, ryansage.com, and yeah, the first couple there I get, I will send out a copy free of charge.
That's very, very, very
spread
cool.
The love.
Yeah, that's awesome. We had another actress from Los Angeles, Tana Frederick. She did that. I think, that was, and that was awesome. Well, she provided us with a lot of, and I'm not asking you to do that because that that took a lot of, a lot of work on our end here because, you know, you'd have to follow up and send them out and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it was great, and
I'm
a lot of people.
I'm taking it out of your hands. I'm doing it for you.
Yeah, there you go. But now let me ask you, so, you know, in addition to doing your promos for Modern Family, you know, you direct some other videos, right? Am I understanding that correct?
Yeah, I do like basically like the promos. I direct a lot of those. So like the Oscars, if you saw anything with Seth MacFarlane talking about the Oscars, that's all stuff that I directed.
Awesome.
That shoot there, and then
awesome.
Like other show launches like Splash, which was a celebrity diving show. I did all the launch promos for that, which was really fun because we got to do, you know, underwater camera stuff, and it was just a lot of fun. And so, different thing. I've done shoots with Modern Family, and it's a great experience. I mean, like, basically ABC is paying me, and then I'm getting to learn, you know, on their dime, working with, like, top-flight actors and you know, really cool equipment. We, you know, trying out all different kinds of rigs and stuff. So I'm very grateful for everything they've allowed me to do.
That is cool. Now, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor as well, okay?
Sure.
So you offered something to my to some of my listeners. So I want you, if you can, do me a favor, and I can get you out my address through Clint. I will send that out to him. I would love to see a copy of it.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, so if you can do that, that would be wonderful. And again, give us an email address in case people are interested in getting a hold of you. Send us out the email address again, and people know that they can see this movie, order it, available through Amazon.com.
Yeah, it's very cute. And there's some great commentary on there. Like, I really go into depth about how, like the movie was made for $50,000, and I really tried to make it like a film school almost on how we got that done. So
okay.
I think it's,
yeah,
it's
that is awesome.
Educational video
so,
too.
Yeah. So can you give us out your
sure. So it's hello@ryansage.com, or you can just visit my website, ryansage.com also.
Yep. Yep. How interesting that your first name, Ryan, and that your the name of your film is a big love story,
and
right?
And Ryan,
that's
yeah.
Pretty, I mean, yeah. You know, that's pretty clever there. So anyway, again, I thank you so much for joining us with Live from the Bay with Joanne. Again, folks, you know, a way that you can get a hold of this film, Amazon.com, and then Ryan gave you his email address again. And for those first two people that are that respond to him and send them out a shout, they will get a free copy of this film. And Ryan, I know you can hear me, but make sure you get me a copy of that as well. So, folks, again, thank you so much for joining us on Live from the Bay with Joey, and look forward to the next time.